TV.
As many of you guessed, the surprise guest yesterday was the one and only Pirate. The Pirate, affectionately known as the Pirate, Mark Haukes of Virginia, formerly of Seattle.
And Dublin.
Here he is. Via Dublin, via Seattle, via Virginia. Now at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, Mark Haukes. I interviewed him last year, I think, and as you know, he was in a terrible accident in a UPS truck 10, 11 years ago.
2011.
Just about killed him. It left him a fraction of the man he was. And yet, even at a fraction of the man he is superior to many of us, especially in wisdom of the scriptures. So today, we're going to talk about a topic that Mark has in mind, and we haven't even discussed it. This is the way I like to do it. I like not to discuss these things ahead of time because I like the spontaneity, just like we did with the unscriptural terms. But before we begin in earnest, I listed all the wonderful gifts given me by Greg Sobel in the care package that came here to me. And I forgot to mention a very important thing. This is also a Seattle company, Oberto Original Beef Jerky. And I was hoping that this was not for Charles. I was hoping it was for me. And it is. I will maybe give Charles, but he's got his own snack, as I told you yesterday. So, Greg, thank you again.
The advertising line for them is, oh boy, Oberto.
Oh boy, Oberto? Is that what they say?
Yeah.
But between this and the smoked salmon was the most delicious fish I've ever eaten. It was something else. That's also from the Northwest. So, a lot of the gifts were Northwest gifts, which I appreciated. I don't know if Bourbon is generally from Kentucky, so I would have to check that bottle again. I'm almost ready for a glass, even though it's 12:30 in the afternoon. I'm just about ready for a glass. You know that? I would like to see the bottle, but that's okay. Don't get it. Is it? I thought all bourbon had to be from Kentucky. This was apparently from the Pacific Northwest. Okay, on to more important topics. Martin Zender, Mark Haukes, and we're going to talk about the snatching away. That's all I know. And tomorrow, Mark says he has insight into the timing of the snatching away.
Possibly.
He possibly has insight. No, you do have insight. It's just possibly true. I think that's the way we should say it. I don't know. But so that's tomorrow. I haven't heard any of it yet, but he says it's very exciting. So I'm all for it. We know we're near the time of our being made immortal. So anybody that can give us more insight, we're all for it. All right, so what's the topic du jour? Lay it on me cold here, brother.
Well, I want to talk about the gospel as Paul preaches it. And to tie together some loose ends, at least in my own mind, and perhaps for the viewers out there in MZTV land. And I think it will bolster people and help people. And I want to talk about it in particular in contrast to the gospel of the circumcision, and then to talk about how the snatching away relates to it.
All right, begin. What do you got there? You guess your computer here with some notes on it?
Well, I'm not sure whether I got this quotation from you or just from my own research, but there's this writer named D.L. McCroskey in his book, The Divine Outline of World Apostasy, on page 27. He says, quote, practically all error in Christendom today stems from the ignorance or denial of Paul's gospel of grace and his revelation of the mystery, unquote. Would you say that that's correct?
Yes, I would, because to mix the circumcision elements into grace causes no end of confusion.
And so the mess and the insanity that we see in Christianity is the abandonment of Paul's gospel, which was already in motion in the first century. All in Asia forsook him, and he had opponents on every side, and the Judaizers that were hot on his heels. So it stands to reason that the mess we see is definitely not Paul's concoction.
No, don't blame Paul. Yeah.
So anyway, there was something that you said in MZTV 879 called Despairing of Life, and you said something to the effect of, our passion is holding to the evangel, spreading it, and expecting the evangel to come to its perfect fruition at the snatching away. Then Christ will infuse us with immortality. And so what I wanted to do is to break down what you're getting at there, as we discuss, but first to discuss the gospel. What's interesting as we look at it, Martin, is that during the time of Moses, it says the gospel was preached to Israel, and Paul writes about that in Hebrews 4:2. What do you think he meant by that, that it was preached to Israel at that time?
You're not talking about his gospel, of course.
Right, but it says the gospel is preached to Israel in Hebrews 4:2.
Well, I mean, I take it at face value. The gospel of circumcision was preached to Israel. Is that a trick question?
Yeah, so I mean, this is not something that it has been successively been preached down through the centuries.
Well, I would disagree with that, of course. I think people can still hear and heed the circumcision gospel. I think it's still being heralded.
No, but what I meant was that even from the time of Moses, this gospel had been proclaimed.
Well, right. I mean, starting with Abraham in a way, but specifically with Moses when the Ten Commandments, the law, came down from Sinai.
But then Peter says that God proclaimed the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ to Israel in Acts 10:36, and in contrast, Paul testified to the gospel of the grace of God in Acts 20:24. So what gives there as far as in what sense was the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ preached to Israel?
The verse references what for Peter?
Acts 10:36 in his address.
And
to
Peter says specifically what? That God proclaimed the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ to Israel. Well, peace is a common denominator
in both gospels.
Yeah. Well, we have a verse from the Psalms, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, the King James Version. So that predated Paul. I mean, just like grace, we do see grace all through the scriptures. God showed grace to Noah. God showed grace to Peter. And anybody who received the circumcision gospel got peace, got grace, just as they got peace. But in my mind, it's just the amount of it, right? The amount of it is blown through the roof with Paul. But we certainly don't have the market cornered on peace or the market cornered on grace. We just have it in excess.
So sometimes you talk about the contrast between the circumcision gospel and the uncircumcision gospel. Is it better to say that there's an overlap? So like a Venn diagram, there's a common ground.
Yes, I call it transadministrational truths. Truths that apply to both the circumcision and the uncircumcision gospel, one of which being Jesus Christ is the head. He's the head of both evangels, right? And there are many of them. That's the only one I can think of at this time. But included is the fact that there is still grace in the circumcision gospel, because it's the grace of God that anybody hears it at all. Paul brings that up in Romans 11. And certainly there's grace involved with us. Like I said, there's just more of it.
So, and common to both is, of course, the person and work of Christ in his resurrection.
Sure.
And I think that probably throws a curveball to people, and therefore they meld them together.
Yeah, that's true. People look at the similarities, and they think, oh, it's the same gospel because they're similar. I mean, every human being has a lot in common. We all have two arms, two legs, and so forth. But, you have all these different nationalities. You have tribes. You have people living in the country, in the city. It's so diverse. And yet there are some things in common. But with Paul's gospel, it's important to recognize the differences it's one thing to say, yeah, there are some things in common, but has anybody heard of the differences? And that's what we always point out.
Viva la différence.
Viva la différence.
Now, what I find intriguing, Martin, is that Paul mentions the word gospel or evangel many, many times. I don't have a word or count right now, but I think it's significant. Would you say it's significant that in the non-Paul epistles, that gospel appears only twice, in 1 Peter 4, 6, talking about the gospel being preached to those who are dead, and then in 1 Peter 4, 17, those who do not obey the gospel of God. And that's it for Peter. He doesn't have an eye for the gospel.
I never noticed that. You know, no, I don't know.
It seems striking to me, just like you mentioned Christ Jesus is.
Yeah, that's a biggie for sure.
That's a big one for Paul, but there seems to be also a similar penchant for Paul to love this word gospel.
This is a new discovery that you are hearing here first on MCTV. This is why you tune in. I had not realized that Paul used the word much more. It's not that the circumcision gospel was not good news in its own right. It's just that I think post-Christ, there's more warnings coming from these circumcision guys. Mm-hmm. There's more threats. There's more, even in Hebrews, there's more like, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Don't throw away, the sacrifice of Christ. There's no more sacrifice for sin. And so there's many more warnings. So I guess it's the obverse with Paul. There's fewer warnings and more gospel.
Mm-hmm. More goodness.
Never thought of that. Never even noticed it.
And then in Galatians 2, 8, and 9, there's an intriguing, I want Galatians 3, 8, and 9. Now the scripture, and this is from the Concordant Literal, now the scripture, perceiving before that God is justifying the nations by faith, brings before an evangel to Abraham, and you shall all the nations be blessed, so that those of faith are being blessed together with believing Abraham. And then I wanted your initial comment, and then I wanted to bring up what occasioned this in Genesis.
All right, whoops, microphone. We're having sound issues here. It's just that we have one microphone and it's kind of tricky. My initial reaction to that is people see Abraham mentioned by Paul and they freak out. This is one of those things where Abraham is a common denominator between both Gospels. James calls upon Abraham in his works post-circumcision, specifically when he sacrificed his son Isaac or attempted to. God spoiled that, didn't he? He was all set on sacrificing his son. God said, nope, you're not going to do it. I don't think he was disappointed. But Paul focuses on Abraham pre-circumcision. So Abraham's a common denominator. But people see that, Abraham. What's Abraham doing in Galatians? And they freak out and they think, well, there's not two evangels. But Abraham is put forward as a poster boy of faith in that he believed God before he had proof of anything. So he's our example of faith. And so in that sense, we're being blessed together with believing Abraham. It is no way suggests that we're of the circumcision gospel.
So, but it's God putting in germ seed what was the gospel that Paul perceived and latched onto.
Yes, Paul had recourse. It was beautiful of God to do that with Abraham, because then Paul would have been killed probably. Everybody wanted to kill Paul. And people would have said, there's no salvation by faith alone. What are you talking about, Paul? There's nothing in Scripture like that. Paul goes, wait just a minute. Yes, there was. Abraham, your forefather, believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Mentions that in the Old Testament. So Paul had this precedent, right? Yeah. Even though that precedent went quickly away, it went from that seed of faith producing righteousness because Abraham believed God, and then all of a sudden he's circumcised, and then we don't see that again. We don't see that justification by faith until Paul. So how many thousands of years go by?
And so Paul is latching on to one verse,
one verse
in Scripture, which is specifically Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
That's all Paul needed, one verse. I love it.
But what strikes me, and this is getting back to what you had mentioned about which comes first, believing or salvation, this follows on the heels of what, starting in verse 4 of chapter 15 of Genesis, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." So can we say that here was God's promise, as it were, this salvation, or this promise that he was going to fulfill his word to Abraham. In other words, it follows the pattern that you're talking about. The belief follows the pronouncement of God.
Does it make sense? Right, yeah, and specifically mentions that in Romans 4, I think it is, God pronounced this evangel to Abraham, and Abraham, facing it, believed it. So God didn't say, Abraham, if you believe this, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Instead, he says, I have made you a father of many nations, speaking proleptically, and then Abraham believes it of the God who is calling what is not as though it were. And those words right there in Romans 4, that's the definition of the figure of speech, prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were. So yes, Abraham believed it after God declared it to be so.
Yeah, so it wasn't Abraham believing, then God coming through after the fact.
No.
Which is really profound, because I find that some of these verses are detached from their context, and then people get into all sorts of false doctrine. And so, would you say that it's since Abraham was not an Israelite, that it's also a type of the gospel of the uncircumcision?
Yes.
That he was,
This is
before there was Israel.
Yes, yeah, he was a progenitor of Israel, obviously, but he wasn't that until he had Isaac. And so before that, it is a pre-Israel thing. And so Paul, again, has great recourse there. It's like, well, who ever heard of God blessing someone who's not an Israelite? That's what the Israelites would say. Well, was Abraham an Israelite? And they would have gone, no.
Yeah, and then we fast forward to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, and it says that he was anointed to bring the gospel to the poor in Luke 4:18. He was commissioned to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, Luke 4:43, and he brought the gospel to the poor, Luke 7:22. He traveled through the cities and villages, heralded and brought the gospel of the kingdom of God in Luke 8:1, and then, of course, it speaks of the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 4:23. So this is an Israel-specific gospel. He hadn't died. There was no death, entombment, or...
That is a great point.
Arousal from the dead.
That is a great point. Can I make a quick comment on that?
Sure, yeah.
That is a great point. How can anybody... The foundation of Paul's gospel is the crucifixion for sin, the death of Christ for sin, and his resurrection. So just what gospel is Jesus imploring people to believe before he died and rose from the dead, right? So the belief in Jesus Christ's death is not essential for the circumcision. To believe in Jesus Christ roused from the dead, that's not even essential for the circumcision gospel. What's essential for them is to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That's it.
Yeah, and to repent for crucifying their Messiah.
Repenting helps. Yes, you must repent of killing your own Messiah and then be baptized. That's Peter. That's not us. It's Peter, Acts 2:38, I think.
And so this differs very much from Paul's gospel, because Paul's gospel has a content, and the essential elements are laid out in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And it says, picking up in verse 3, "For I give over to you among the first what also I accepted, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was entombed, and that he has been roused the third day according to the Scriptures." And so this is what we would call the essence or the core of Paul's gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you agree?
I agree, but I want to go in a particular direction here, because contrasting the gospel of the uncircumcision and now the gospel of the gospel of the circumcision Paul has, and differing from the gospel of the circumcision, would it be proper to say that they differ also in the sense of the expectation of immortality and glory at the snatching away, which is part and parcel of what Paul was teaching his assemblies, 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians notably. But that's absent in Peter and the other circumcision true. Writers.
Yeah, true. Oh, there's a common denominator once again, and then there's aspect of Paul's gospel that, as you say, we don't hear anything about. The common denominator is immortality. The saints of Israel will rise 75 days after Jesus' advent on the Mount of Olives, and they will rise immortal from the dead. Peter, James, John, all those guys. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But we also are made immortal, but in a way different, by a different method. I'm going to ask you now, would it be fair to say that that's a common theme here. Would it be fair to say, and I love that, by the way, would it be fair to say that we're both made immortal? Peter and Paul will both be made immortal, but by wildly different method.
Yes. Because ours involves the snatching away.
Yes, it involves. I say involves. Yeah. It's so funny. The snatching, it involves this thing called the snatching away, where the dead raise first and we are join the dead, and then we are raised together to the air, in the clouds to be with Christ. Yeah. I just like the way you put that. It involves that. Yeah, it involves that crazy thing we just talked about.
So immortality is the common ground.
Yeah.
But, of course, the timing is very different, because as Paul says in Ephesians 1, in the concordant literal, we are the pre-expectant.
Yes.
In the Christ.
I'm going to have to eat some beef jerky to that one.
Okay.
Do you want some? No, you're doing most of the talking. You got to stay.
Well,
stay clean.
I have.
You stay clean.
I have trouble chewing some of that stuff, so I'd.
You stay clean.
As far as the good news, and developing it further from the core, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It says in verses 17 through 19 about how that if we have an expectation in Christ in this life only, more forlorn than all men are we. And then Paul goes on to discuss the snatching away in verses 51 through 54. And he says, a secret to you am I telling. We all indeed shall not be put to repose, yet we shall all be changed. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
I feel Pentecostal all of a
sudden. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, he will be trumpeting, and the dead will be roused incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So getting back to what I started the show with, when you were saying that this this is the fruition of Paul's gospel.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. This is the crescendo, the climax. This is the orgasm of Paul's gospel, if I can put it in such terms.
Because,
this is,
I mean, if that isn't...
It's the consummation of it, yeah.
Right, the consummation. So it's a package deal, isn't it? Is that...
The snatching away and the gospel is a package deal.
Yeah.
Yes. The snatching away and the gospel of Paul are not sold separately.
Okay. That's...
And it's a crescendo. But when we say that, I just heard this as we said it, is that Paul's gospel consummates at the snatching away. And I think it does. Because mm-hmm. I don't think there's such a thing as Paul's gospel after the snatching away. Paul's gospel is the announcement.
That's it. That's the end.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. After that, it's something new. Paul's gospel is over. People say, well, are there going to be any new members of the body of Christ after we're snatched away? No.
Is that Looney Tunes where they say, that's all, folks?
That's all, folks. The snatching away. Don't worry, Porky. This is not pork. This is beef. Don't worry. Okay. Better be.
Yeah.
All right.
And
how are we doing on time here? I got to check us on time. All right, we're good. 26 minutes. Maybe we can go another 5 minutes on this. 10?
Okay.
However long it takes. The hell with time. All right.
Anyway, the scripture I actually was talking about was Ephesians 1:12, pre-expectant in the Christ. That is, we have a prior expectation than Israel has.
That's a good one.
And a lot of translations botch that because they say, we who are the first to hope in Christ.
Are you kidding me?
That
translation sucks.
I know, it's terrible.
Pre-expectant. And there's only two groups expecting Christ. There are only two.
Yeah.
The circumcision and the uncircumcision. So the only people we can be pre-expectant of or in front of is the circumcision. Would it be fair to say that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is good stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, man. This is meat. Hey, meat.
And then Paul brings this out. Now, this is his last epistle. And, of course, he wants to drill down and make everything crystal clear to the one he wants to pass the baton to, Timothy. And so in 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 11, he's talking about to not be ashamed to suffer in the evangel. And then in verse 10, he says this intriguing thing, yet now is being manifested in the advent of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who indeed abolishes death, who yet illuminates life and incorruption through the evangel, of which I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher of the nations.
Thank you, Paul. What stands out for you in that verse
is that the evangel and this abolishment of death and its illumination of life and incorruption is part of his gospel. And I think that people, well, of course, there's a bastard gospel that's preaches.
Well,
and the so-called damnationist gospel, which is really no gospel at all.
No.
And they talk about a salvation from eternal hell, and so they get they cross all their wires.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, they don't include the snatching away as they divorce that aspect of it too. Do you see the double jeopardy problem?
It's weird. They talk about the rapture. And yet they talk about being with Christ on earth. I mean, they absolutely don't know what they're talking about. But something really jumped out at me here. You have this highlighted dark face type here. Speaking of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who indeed abolishes death, yet illuminates life and incorruption. I believe these two things happen at the same time. But there's two aspects of it. The negative aspect, kind of death is abolished. The positive aspect of the abolition of death is the illumination of life and incorruption through the evangel. Now, we just said that the evangel doesn't exist anymore after the snatching away. So I see this abolition of death and the illumination of life and incorruption, I see that happening all at the snatching away. The snatching away does that at the same time. It is the culmination of everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not frosting. It's not frosting on the cake.
It's the cake. It's the cake.
And I'm a boomer. I mean, I will admit I'm a boomer.
Yeah.
But I think of myself as a boomer zoomer.
You are, if ever there was such a thing as a boomer zoomer, you are it, my friend.
Not a boomer doomer. I'm a boomer zoomer.
No, you are. You don't fit the profile of the boomers.
Yeah, because, I mean, Martin, you know, just from my own testimony, this knowledge of what Paul's gospel is, it's the renewal of the mind.
Yeah.
It gives expectation, hope, direction. And yes, the trials come and get hot and heavy, but we have an expectation, and it's not a wispy hope. But I like the way Nock translates it: expectation.
Expectation is better than hope. You see what I did to highlight that? You see what I did back there?
Yeah.
See, we've reached a crescendo, and it's like the light is being infused with the Spirit of God. If you're not watching the studio cam, you're really missing something. How much more do you have here, son? Well, I called you son. What?
Well,
I say that.
I don't know how we're doing on time. I mean,
maybe we could do a part two.
Yeah.
I don't want to push people too hard here.
No,
I mean, we got hardcores out there. We got hardcores.
I'm passionate about this, Martin, and I know you are too.
I'm passionate as hell about
because this gets to the core of our life, and Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, and nor should we. And I think it behooves us to get the gospel of Paul right. If we don't get that right, then everything goes cattywampus.
Yeah, if we don't get that right now, it's just cattywampus, and nothing works after that. I'm sorry, beef jerky. You're right. We got to get it right, and I think we've made a great advance.
Now, this is beginning to look like.
This is getting scary. This looks like Saturday Night Fever.
Or something from...
Born to be alive.
From the late 1960s.
Yeah, well, we're going retro. We're going retro. Okay, I think that's a good place to stop for now. We're going to continue this.
Yeah, and I...
And then we're going to get into the timing thing, too. That's a whole different topic, right?
That's another topic.
Oh, you folks out there, I'm not going to call you guys. I hate that. People come on and say, hey, guys, I hate that. We have ladies and gentlemen out here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have much more for you while the pirate is in town. When do you sail, pirate?
Thursday.
You sail Thursday. Okay, so until then, we're going to get into some... Even if I have to record two shows with you and broadcast them after you sailed back to your lair... Then that's what we'll do.
And who knows? I mean, there may be someone out there, and I think of this, that will hear the gospel for the first time and become a member of the body of Christ.
Yes, that's a big deal. In fact, I got 25 new subscribers every month. It doesn't seem like a lot, but I'm talking consistently every month for 6 years. So people are new all the time. They're out there. They're watching us, and they might be getting it for the first time. And so what an honor for us, really, that God has given us to be able to herald this. And we were talking about how we curse technology. We want to throw our phones in the ocean. We want to smash our computers with hammers. But this is the only way we're reaching you right now. So, and I think I said something outrageous before that you reminded me of it today. You said, Martin, you said something about that this technology exists for us.
Yes.
And everyone else is just piggybacking off of it. And we tend to think that, oh, we're just users of the technology. But no, God invented the technology for us to herald the evangel in these last days of Millennium 6. And everybody else is just getting in on it. Everybody else, like these, whatever they're doing, these high-tech things we can't boggle our mind. This is what it's all about right here, us communicating with you. Us to have an avenue, other people, we're not the only ones, other people having an avenue to broadcast to the body of Christ in the midst of the darkness, and especially these recent days when everybody's been stuck and not be able to travel. God invented this for us to herald.
And the interesting thing is that after the snatching away, when the Great Tribulation or indignation begins to roll out, God essentially crushes this cosmic system and its technology. And technology has, in a sense, served its purpose.
It served its purpose after we're out of here. After we're out of here, it served its purpose. I mean, it seems outrageous to say these things. Like, how audacious. Who do you people think you are that the internet was invented for you? Hey, well, wrap your heads around this. We are withholding the advent of the man of lawlessness, the fabled Antichrist. The Antichrist will not show up until we're out of here. He won't be his advent, right? His delay.
Or the detainer.
The detainer. We're the detainer. We're called the detainer. We detain the public manifestation of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. Obviously, he's living today somewhere, but he hasn't been announced, right? But that won't happen until we're gone. So we were Mark and I were driving down Las Olas Boulevard today after eating breakfast, and we're looking at all these people on the sidewalk, and we're thinking, these people don't know how lucky they are that we're still here. Like, they're having a good day because of us.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Take us out of the picture.
Take us out of the picture and all hell breaks loose on Earth. You people don't realize. Me and this guy driving anonymously down Las Olas Boulevard, we're the key to your happiness today. Because we're still here, you're having a normal day. But after we leave, you won't be able to get online, and you're going to have 95-pound hailstones falling on your head. Sorry, but we had to go. Sorry, but we have to go, but good luck with the hailstones, the locusts. Good luck. All right, until the next time, the pirate and I sign off. But like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I will be back.